Let us pray. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All people everywhere and of every time long for immortality. The ancient Egyptians used special ointments and wrapped bodies in cloth, making them mummies, hoping that if they could keep the flesh from rotting, they could provide immortality, never-ending life. The ancient Romans made immortality part of the politics of the state, declaring that the emperor was an immortal god and therefore should be obeyed by mere mortals. On his deathbed, Emperor Tiberius, the same emperor ruling when Jesus died, sarcastically said, "I think I am becoming a god." In modern history, the wealthy have looked for immortality by granting huge bequests to construct museums and other buildings named after themselves. If you go through ancient Rome, you will come upon two distinctive sets of tombstones. There are those of the pagan Romans with words such as "farewell" and "nevermore." Then there are other tombs like those in the catacombs, the tombs of the departed Christians. These tombs have inscriptions such as "until we meet again" and "alive in the Lord." As we look at the resurrection of our Lord in the Gospels, it becomes clear that God confirmed the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus in many and various ways in order that we might know Christ is risen. The bodily resurrection of our Lord is absolutely fundamental and necessary to biblical Christianity. In our gospel reading from Matthew 28, we are given several signs which verify that Christ's resurrection is fact, not fiction. It is reality, not fantasy. The first sign given in the gospel of Matthew 28 is the appearance of the angels at the tomb of Jesus to the guards. Notice that the first people who get a sense that something extraordinary is going on is not the disciples or the women, but those who could either care less about Jesus, who were outright opposed to Jesus, namely the Roman soldiers. We don't know if these were the same soldiers who oversaw the crucifixion of our Lord, but they were not sympathetic toward Jesus, were committed disciples of his. But they were the first ones to encounter some very visible sign that something is dramatic was happening. The angels appear and an earthquake occurs with the stone being rolled away and the angel of the Lord sitting on top of the stone. And the result is that the guards shook like dead men. They were so scared they couldn't move. This sign is significant for many reasons. One reason that this sign is important is that it shows that it was only the devoted followers of Christ who witnessed the reality. It was not only them, but also the soldiers. And so the empty tomb points to the fact that Jesus was raised. It is also important to note that it was a practice in the event of a death of somebody important for them to be guards set to the tomb to prevent either grave robbing or violence done to the deceased body. In the case of Jesus, the Jewish religious leaders demanded that Pilate put some Roman guards in place just so that the disciples did not come and steal the body and then claim that Jesus rose from the dead. During the times of the Roman Empire, the punishment for a soldier abandoning his post while standing guard or falling asleep was death by execution. The guards had every reason to stay put and to stand watch lest they be put to death. But despite the attempt to make sure nothing happened to the body of Jesus, they found out the hard way that what transpired was beyond their control. No mere mortal rescued the body of Jesus. No mere person did anything to the body of Jesus, but God the Father raised Jesus from the dead. No army could have thwarted the power of God in raising the Lord Jesus Christ. These Roman soldiers were no match for the angel of the Lord Most High. These soldiers were trained to protect in battle, to guard against all enemies, foreign or domestic, but they were disciplined not to flee in the intense physical struggle. But when they encounter an angel of the Most High God, their only response was to lay down in utter fear and shake, and then later run in terror. This sign is important because it was clear even to the uncommitted that something supernatural had happened outside of their control, and they were powerless to do anything in the face of their potential execution. This brings me to my second point. The second sign we see is that the angels also appear to the women followers of Jesus. There is no record of the angels saying anything to the soldiers, but the angels do have a message to these godly women. I want to bring out 2 points under this second sign. The first point is that the message of the angels to the women makes it clear that Christ's resurrection is a bodily resurrection. The angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." Notice that the angels don't separate Jesus from his body. The place where he lay refers to where his body had been placed for burial. This emphasizes that Jesus' resurrection is a bodily resurrection. He has risen means his body has been raised. The obvious answer to this question, did anything happen at the tomb of Jesus if we had been there or we had set a video camera on that first Sunday of Easter? Yes, Jesus came out of the grave. Well, there are many mysteries of how this body functions and how it appears and disappears before a group of people. Let there be no doubt that Christ's body rose again from the dead. While his body died on Good Friday and Christ's soul was separate from his body in between Good Friday and Easter Sunday, by Easter Sunday, his body and soul were united again. He is not here. He has risen. Go and see the place where his body lay. We also see in this second sign of Christ's resurrection, in the message of the angel to the women, the question of why the women were told first, even ahead of time, before the apostles were told. I don't know that there is a definitive answer to this question. They were faithful in seeking to take care of the dead corpse of Jesus, and these were the same women who stood in the darkest hour of his suffering. In any case, they were the first ones told of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus by the angel. This brings me to my third point. The third sign of Christ's resurrection is the appearance of Jesus himself to the women. In Matthew 28, 8 through 10, we hear these words, "So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'" The evidence builds upon one another and making the evidence for what happened stronger and stronger. First, the appearance of the angels to the soldiers without words. Next, the angels appear to the women and tell them explicitly the meaning of this shock and awe display of God's power, that Christ has risen. But they are being told by a third party about what happened. The women certainly would have believed the word of the angels, but God, who is rich in mercy, gives the ultimate sign of the Lord Jesus himself telling the women that he is risen. What a tremendous comfort to the women that they did not have to wonder about the meaning of the empty tomb. They were told both by an angel and by the Lord himself. God in his mercy does not leave us to guesswork about what the empty tomb is all about. As a result of these signs, the women fall down and worship Jesus. They show that he is God the Son and worthy of our worship. The women not only worship the Lord, but they respond in obedience to what Jesus tells them to do, which is to go and tell the apostles that he is risen and he will meet them in Galilee. Since the time of the apostles, each generation is called to respond in faith to the message and the evidence of Christ's resurrection. Dr. Simon Greenleaf, who lived from 1783 to 1853, was the Royal Professor of Law at Harvard University and was one of the greatest legal minds of his time. He wrote the famous legal volume entitled A Treatise on the Law of Evidence. And it was considered by many the greatest legal volume ever written. Dr. Simon Greenleaf believed the resurrection of Jesus Christ was a hoax. And he determined once and for all to expose the myth of the resurrection. After thoroughly examining the evidence for the resurrection, Dr. Greenleaf came to the exact opposite conclusion. He wrote a book entitled An Examination of the Testimony of the Four Evangelists by the Rules of Evidence Administered in the Courts of Justice. That would have been shortened by if it was written in the 21st century. In this book, he made this important quote. It was impossible that the apostles could have persisted in affirming the truths that they had narrated had not Jesus Christ actually risen from the dead. Dr. Greenleaf writes about the following lines of evidence of Christ's resurrection, including that the people of Israel expected a military deliverer, but what caused them to believe in and serve a Messiah who died such a humiliating death? What caused them to change their day of worship from Saturday to Sunday? What caused so many faithful Christians, including many of the apostles, to die a martyr's death? From these considerations, there is no escape, but in the perfect conviction and admission that they were good men, testifying to what they had carefully observed and knew well to be true. Worship and evangelism are at the heart of the mission of the Christian church through every age. We believe in the risen Lord and his resurrection. We worship him as Lord. Because these things are true, we tell others some uncomfortable things to do, such as repent of their sins. We tell them to trust in the good news of Christ's death and resurrection for the forgiveness of their sins. This is good news because Christ has come. Christ has died for our sins. And yes, Christ is risen and he will come again. May we believe this good news of Christ's resurrection and respond with faithful obedience as we worship and serve our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Gracious Father, through your infinite power, you raised your Son from the dead. Grant us the grace of the Holy Spirit to experience the power of Christ's resurrection in our lives. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen.